presenting tonight's action. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 as we talk about Tennessee and Florida Atlantic tonight. Tennessee wins 81-62 on a night when Kevin Punter, for the sixth consecutive game, scores over 20 points. Hasn't been done in Knoxville since when, Keith?
I think they said the 05-06 season with Chris Lofton.
What a special talent. What a special talent Lofton was. Where does he rank in your favorite players, Keith?
Well, he's certainly in the top 10. I mean, granted, you always tend to be a little more, have a little more, whatever you want to call it, for the guys that were playing when you were really growing up.
Oh, no question.
Ellis and Willie Burton and those guys, Gary Carter, probably sit a little higher on the list. But, I mean, Lofton's an all-time, well, he's also an all-time fighter, too. I mean, here's a guy that played an entire season with cancer and never complained or said anything.
Never said a word. I cannot believe that. Never said a word.
Nope.
Never said a word.
Just went about his business as best he could.
There were a couple all-time Vols on that team. You had Lofton and you had Dane Bradshaw, who's all 50, who made the all 50 team.
That's what happens when you let fans vote for stuff, Tony.
Smartway, ladies and gentlemen, gosmartway.net online. 8416 Kingston Pike, the everything for home, pay your way, home of pay your way, be smart, buy smart, and do it the smart way. And the way it works is, smart way, everything for your home store, and the bottom line is, a tremendous retailer of furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, you name it, they've got it. And look, if you want a surprise at this Christmas season, with one of the new smartphones, they even carry the iPhones, but they've got name brands like Samsung, LG, Blue. The fancy dancy new iPhones are available. The best part? Say you can't afford one of those new hot, very expensive cell phones from your provider. You can get one via Elite's purchase agreement over at SmartWay. 120 days same as cash on any item less than $9.99. And then you pay, you set the payment options how you want to do it, and that's the way you do it at SmartWay. GoSmartWay.net online. Again, GoSmartWay.net online. Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, ladies and gentlemen, thank them for being here tonight. Online at DaltonHydraulic.com, serving worldwide from beautiful Granger County, Tennessee. Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, they have got you covered. You will never be sold something and then hung out the drive with no technical support, no expertise. They are going to do it for you because they are the experts. They do have the technical support. They do have the know-how. They will do it for you. Small hometown service and a relationship with their customers that has lasted many, many, many years. One of the great under-the-radar Tennessee success stories is Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, because they take care of their customers and they win one customer at a time. Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics in beautiful Granger County, Tennessee. And Keith, tonight you're presented by
our friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville, next to the historic Tennessee Theater.
Keith, I'd have to say for you, that was an outstanding job by you. On the way out, a final thought. Perhaps you want to take a shot at Donnie Tindall from Tindall's Take last night, where he talked about the star system and poor Robert Hubbs. Poor Robert Hubbs.
Well, no, I mean, expectations. I mean, I thought Coach Tindall had that exactly right last night. People, just because somebody says you're, well, it's kind of like in the NBA a lot of times. These GMs sign guys to max contracts. That doesn't mean that guy's good enough to deserve that. That just means he got the money. I mean, just by giving someone, oh, well, he's a five-star player, that doesn't mean anything. And it does. I think it makes kids harder to coach, because, I mean, I think they take the position, hey, man, I'm a five-star. Why do I have to listen to you?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think it makes a mess of the game. I've said for years that stuff doesn't help. And the thing is, most of those guys, well, as Coach Tindall and I were talking off air, a lot of those guys, they're in the magazine sales business or the internet subscription sales business. They're just trying to get hype. They're not actually evaluating players because most of them don't have the ability to do so. Just my thought.
And I'll say this for Keith Hatfield. He looked at several guys in the Konzo Martin era and said they could play, and they turned out to be players. You said C.J. Richardson, the first after two games of seeing him, you said that guy will be an all-league player here one day.
Yeah, and I caught all kinds of Hades for that.
You also said about Hubs that he will come around and be a player. The difference, I think, between a Hubs and a Richardson, this is just as far as what I can ascertain from talking to the past two staffs, is I think Richardson really loved the game a lot more. You know, some guys can kind of take it or leave it.
Well, and I think that may have something a lot to do with what we're talking about, the five-star stuff. When people have tried to make basketball your entire life for years, which I'm sure has probably happened a little bit to Hubs.
That's interesting.
I grew up with a guy who was 6'6 when we were about 12 years old, flew all over the country playing in AAU tournaments for a couple of Memphis teams. As a young guy, he wouldn't even let his sons play high school basketball. I mean, he was completely done and sickened with it by the time he was done with high school. Now, he went to UT and ended up winning, I think it was the shot put national championship. I mean, he was done with basketball in a hard way.
That's a really interesting story. Hatfield, I love you like a brother. And we will do this. Now, will we do this after the Gonzaga game, yes or no?
I don't know why we wouldn't, unless you just don't want to. I'm in. You know me. I don't sleep on weekends.
I really don't want to. You just, when you put it like that, if you're going to put it in my lap right now, let's see, I got to make a snap judgment. No, I'll be here. Thank you, Hatfield. Love you. And by the way, you'll be here Friday afternoon with your show?
Yes, I will be there Friday afternoon.
All right, brother, your check will be in the mail. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
The great Keith Hatfield, ladies and gentlemen. Say it, know it, write it down. He has left the building. We will be doing our thing Saturday night once Tennessee and the Zags go final out in Zagland. I want to remind you, portions tonight presented by our friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. They are unbelievable, Andy Mack. Check them out. 2260 Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville, online at 10sportsmed.com. Check out the link at tonybasilio.com. And the bottom line is, if you have an ailment, don't suffer, don't suffer, don't suffer. And don't take shots and don't do pills, because you don't need to do that. The folks at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group want to take care of you. And they are servants of the people. Go and experience the difference. Look, I've been to some places. I've been treated like a number. And my lovely Mrs. B, same thing. And we experience the difference. This is no radio spot here. This is I'm shooting you straight down the middle, like a flaming arrow. I'm laying it right at your feet. Like a flaming arrow. Tennessee Sports Medicine Group online. You can check them out and do it today. You'll be glad you did. 10sportsmed.com, located 2260 Sutherland Avenue. Tell you what, I'm going to make a deal with you right now. I'm going to stay up and I'm going to watch the end of this Lady Vol game because I feel so bad for these gals, and I feel bad that Mrs. Vol Colonel has gone to sleep. That's how bad it's gotten in Lady Vol Land. When Mrs. Vol Colonel goes to sleep, it's a bad deal. I might tweet out that I'll be back here to do a Lady Vol emergency. I'm just messing with you. That's not happening. If the Lady Vols come back and win, which they're now down 38-20, just underway here in the third quarter, I am going to grab and I will answer the call and grab a Moosehead. Moosehead Lager. It is pure tradition like Our Lady Vols. They've been so next level, brewing fine beers for over 145 years. And Moosehead Brewery's flagship brand, Golden Lager, light in body, highly refreshing, giving you that fine balance between malt sweetness and hop bitterness. Made from an age-old yeast culture, they're doing it with ease. Moosehead. Answer the call and grab a Moosehead. How about doing it tonight? After Our Lady Vols come from behind and get Stanford. What do you think? For all those behind the scenes, this is Tony Basilio wishing you a great night. I hope you have yourself a wonderful evening. We will get there, my good friends. We will believe it. We will be there. We will get there. Let's celebrate some truly bad basketball now together, shall we?
Gotta really stink. And so, as a person, if you're gonna go, you know, the weekend without taking a shower, why not go 3 or 4 days? The 76ers of 72-73, they went about a month without showering. They stunk that bad. To help break that season down, the book is called Perfectly Awful, aptly entitled Perfectly Awful. The Philadelphia 76ers horrendous and hilarious 1972-73 season. Charlie Rosen is our guest. And before I bring Charlie in, just a few words about him. He's a contributor to HoopsHype.com, USA Today Sports, and has written more than a dozen or so books. And he's really, really a gifted and great basketball writer. And Charlie, I welcome you in. Great to talk with you. Congratulations on this book. And I would bet you that was fun for you to write this book.
It was great fun because I remember that team. And it gave me a chance to reconnect with a whole bunch of guys that when I was covering the NBA for Sport and Inside Sports and things like that, that I haven't spoken to in a long time. Mike Reardon, John McLaughlin, Jack Maron, Kevin Lockery. So it was kind of, yeah, get the information and what was it like playing against the Sixers and what was this game like and what was that game like. But it was also catching up. Hey, what are you doing? How's your golf score? You know, things like that. So I think I had more fun doing this book than any other book I've done because of that.
The NBA today, we know, is a huge international business. It is a mainstay here in the United States of America. And no book about that time period is not complete without some historical context. The NBA at that time wasn't fledgling, but it was pretty close. It was a dark day for the NBA, the early 1970s. You had the split with the ABA and the NBA, and you talk about that in this book. That impacted this team with Billy Cunningham defecting down to North Carolina. It was really a different day, wasn't it, the NBA of then?
Yeah, there were no really primetime telecasts. Even playoff games, championship games were on delayed telecast. I think there were Sunday afternoon games every once in a while. A lot of the games were kind of done in secret. Nobody really paid much attention. It was NFL mania, and then it was Major League Baseball and college basketball. That just wasn't the attention paid to the NBA. You know, the Lakers, LA, New York, Boston. And that was about it. Every other city was oblivion, really, as far as fans were concerned, as far as media attention was concerned. But also, it impacted that season with Philadelphia because nobody really knew what was going on. Nowadays, if a guy scratches his butt, you know, there are YouTube, there are pictures, everybody knows all about it. If he curses out a fan, everybody knows about it. But these guys were anonymous. They were really ignored except by the Philadelphia press, which took a lot of pressure off of them. They got along. nobody was bitching to the media about this or that, about the coach wasn't playing them enough, this guy's not shooting, this guy's shooting too much, I'm not getting enough shots. They just played the game, and of course nobody was making $10 million a year, like the $15, $20 million a year. So they had fewer distractions, so they concentrated on basketball, which of course was very frustrating, but that's what they did. Really, they got along. I mean, you look at Charlotte a couple of years ago when they had that terrible record, they were just bickering all over the place. It was news everywhere, but these guys flew under the radar, and some of them I spoke to said they had a good time.
Isn't that incredible? That's another thing that I noticed about the book before we dive into just how horrendous that team was and how they were doomed from the very beginning. I don't sense a lot of bitterness from the participants, the players, those in management, those that were around this thing. It's almost as if it's a twisted sort of thing, but it's almost as if these guys are the equal of the Miami Dolphins of that period with their tremendous winning streak that they had, you know, in the first undefeated season. It's almost as if these guys, you talk about that Charlotte team, which we don't count because they didn't play a full season, so we don't count that. You didn't count it, and I don't count it, because I want my Sixers, where I grew up in Philadelphia, to own, because we claim that. That matters, and it's those guys on that team claim it too, don't they?
Yes, they're not proud of it, but it marked that team and them as players as something special, as something unique. And, yeah, they were rooting for Charlotte to win games.
And there's not a lot of bitterness, is there, from these guys?
Not at all. They all got along. I'm sure we'll talk about Roy Rubin, but he was more a joke than anything else. You know, they understood that he was way over his head. I mean, over his head, he was like at the bottom of the ocean. That's how far over his head the game was. So they were annoyed and aggravated, but they just couldn't take him seriously. And in those days, also, you didn't complain to the media. You didn't have guys sneaking. One guy did at one point, but everything was kind of kept in-house. They got mad at Rubin for doing some stupid things during games, during practice, during timeouts, but they kind of bonded. I mean, they really bonded, and they played hard. That's the miracle of that season. They lost 73 games, and they just went out and played as hard as they could. They didn't have the talent to win, but it didn't destroy their competitive spirit. They didn't just mail it in.
No, there was a Hall of Famer on that team, and there were some all-time great characters on that team as well. And you set it up in the prologue of the book. I know you're a great writer. I knew you were going to deliver. I knew when I saw your name on that book, I said, I have absolutely got to read that. And you completely delivered. Here's the prologue. You talk about when Rubin sits down with the team. I'm just going to read this for a second here. You say, here's Rubin's words. I don't care who you are or how long you've been in the league. There's no guaranteed spot for anybody on this team. And then he goes on to tell them, in his authoritarian tone, you say, a strict dress code will be enforced for road trips. No exceptions. No beer in the locker room. No exceptions. Smoking will not be allowed in the locker room. No exceptions. And that's when Freddie Carter, who we now know from the ESPN days and later on when he got the chance to coach in the league, unfortunately with the Sixers, he raises his hand and he says, but coach, I've been smoking in the locker room ever since I've been in the league. That's the only way I can calm down to get ready. And here's Rubin. Looks over at him and says, okay, you can smoke, Freddie, but you're the only one. you knew right away, this guy isn't so far over his head, it's not even funny.
And that was it. And Carter and Lockery looked at each other and gave a look, and they said, this is not going to work. So Rubin exposed himself the very first time he met the team. Before he blew a whistle, before he called a play, before he conducted a practice, that first meeting with the team, the veterans on the team was like, uh-oh, this is crazy. This is not going to happen. So it started before a ball was bounced.
And I'll give Rubin credit because not only was he a disaster on the floor, he was pretty much a disaster off the floor as well, wasn't he?
He had some, shall we say, peculiar sexual habits.
Yes, proclivities, I think, is the word we use these days.
Proclivities, yes, that he exhibited, particularly when he was coaching at Long Island University before he got the Sixers job. He was a weird dude. I knew him. He coached at Columbus High School when I was playing at Hunter College in the Bronx. So our paths crossed several times. You could see this guy dribbling a basketball down the street. He's coaching a high school team. He's an adult. Dribbling a basketball down the street. He's just, I guess, basketball and sex. That's probably the only two things that he thought about. He's a weird dude.
And he was wide open in both regards, wasn't he?
Presumably he was more competent in the latter than he was in the former.
Charlie Rosen joined. The book is called Perfectly Awful, The Philadelphia 76ers Horrendous and Hilarious 72-73 Season, and it is from University of Nebraska Press. And the thing is, if you're going to be terrible, you might as well go for it. But a little more historical context here. The Sixers somehow managed, and this is pure Philadelphia, and I love Philadelphia to this day because the Phillies have done this. The Phillies have went from 111 wins 1 year, and they're going to lose over 100 games the year in which we record this, which is 2015. They're a shoo-in for that. The Sixers went from having, in the late 60s, people regard as one of the greatest teams in the history of the NBA, to literally the worst team in the history of the NBA in a five-year period. And you talk about how that happened. You don't just arrive at that overnight, Charlie. They really screwed themselves, didn't they?
That was hard to do.
Yes.
To go from the penthouse to the outhouse so quickly. One of the big things was losing Wilt Chamberlain. He claimed he had a verbal agreement with one of the owners to make such and such a money and to, you know, eventually coach the team. And then that owner passed away and that agreement was not honored. So he left. He jumped to the ABA and became a coach in the ABA. And then Billy Cunningham, as you mentioned, jumped to the ABA. They traded away Wally Jones.